ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 द प्योर कॉन्शियसनेस or awareness is nirupadhikam brahma or nirvisesham brahma or nirgunam brahma nirgunam nirvisesham nirupadhikam brahma or atma means pure consciousness. Then same consciousness associated with upadhis gets the status of Ishvara, being Ishvaraha or Jivaha. The consciousness associated with upadhi, the manifesting medium, is Ishvaraha, means which upadhi? The samashti samashti ajnanam is an upadhi, or you can say maya. So consciousness associated with this upadhi, maya upadhi, or samashti ajnanam is Ishvaraha, and same consciousness associated with Vyashti Ajnanam, otherwise called Avidya, is Jivaha. What is the difference between Samashti, Vyashti, Ajnanam, the two Upadhis? The Maya Upadhi or Samashti Ajnanam is predominantly sattvic, sattva pradhana prakritihi, and vyashti ajnanam or avidya is rajav pradhana prakritihi. So upadhis are two, therefore two different statuses to one and the same consciousness. Therefore, the Jivaha or Ishvaraha are only the titles given to the consciousness in keeping with the manifesting media, two different manifesting media. And here, when the author wanted to talk about the creation, analysis of creation, srishtihi, or Adhyaropa Prakaranam, he wanted to talk about especially the avidya or ajnanam. When I say ajnanam here, the word ajnanam is what? Prakritihi, mula prakritihi or mula vidya, the original matter. And that we say, this we can say maya and avidya. You can call vyashti upadhi is what? Avidya. Samashti upadhi, maya. So I can give a long sentence. Now it is not possible for you to get confused at all. We have been talking for past 4 classes the same thing. See, even it is too lot of Sanskrit, please understand this. So samashti ajnanam or maya, which is sattva pradhana prakritihi, now which is the manifesting medium, and that is maya, and vyashti ajnanam rajav pradhana prakritihi, called avidya, is it? So these two upadis have, two upadis are what? Actually, basically, original matter only. Therefore, we say, this maya and avidya, both have what? Maya and avidya are nothing but same matter, but difference is only in what is predominant. Vyashti is predominantly rajasic. Samashti is the total upadi is predominantly sattvic. The individual upadi is predominantly rajasic. Therefore, we are going to see today, it become very clear for you. These two upadis, in fact, we say the maya itself, you see maya or avidya, you can see it as the power of consciousness. Maya as a whole is what is ajnanam? What is mula ajnanam? What is original matter? Here the original matter itself, you can see it as the original matter itself is inexplicably subtle. Because when you hear the word matter in English language, we always think of something tangible. Isn't it? Matter, the very word sounding itself makes us think of something gross, tangible, matter. Immediately the mind can't imagine something visual, is something which is intangible, isn't it? Actually speaking, the matter in its original form is subtlest. Subtlest means how subtle? It is intangible. It is intangible. Incomprehensible. You can never arrive at how the original matter would have been. Okay, what has it come from? What has it come from? You reduce everything and people want to know really what it would have been. Originally, how the matter would have been. You can never arrive at. And Vedanta gives us a clue. If at all you want to know, you can only have an idea how the original matter would have been when nothing thing was here, the original matter alone was there, means how it would have been. No scientific, research will really help you to arrive at one thing. We can always say, Vedanta can say blindly closing its eyes, scientifically, whatever efforts you make, you can discovers any amount of much subtler facts within the realm of matter, but you can never arrive at what exactly would have been the original subtlest matter. You never arrive at. But you can have a clue how it would have been. You can have an idea. How? By analyzing your own deep sleep state. You can have an idea. Suppose, how would I be after death? How would I be once the deluge happens? Suppose, imagine people talk about, frightened about the 20, the new age, we are talking about the destruction of the world. Isn't it? Imagine, suppose the whole world disappears, everything goes, everything collapses. Then what happens to you? And when after death, what happens to everyone? I tell you, whether there'll be deluge, whether there'll be death, whatever happens, now you will continue to be as you are now. Nothing happens to you. Which means you can understand, if you analyze your own deep sleep state, how you are in deep sleep state. You are very much there. In deep sleep state. But you are not knowing you are. You are not absent. You are all very much, you are very well aware that I was in my sleep. All of you know that you were all in your sleep. And you woke up from sleep. And now you continue to be here. So every day before going to bed, you are not scared of falling asleep. No way. Sleep, falling asleep is not going to bring any end to you. You are not disappearing. You will not be dead. You will not be destroyed. You continue to be there. You fall asleep and then you are welcoming sleep also. Sometimes people go for tablets also if they are not able to sleep. No, why? They look for this because in sleep, imagine, even if you are not going to be there. Oh, sleep means I won't be there. That's not true. In sleep, you continue to be there. Nothing happens to you. Which means, in sleep, when you are not knowing you are, what is there is, you know, total ignorance. You are, and total ignorance is. The total ignorance is an object of your experience in deep sleep, that your knowledge. What is total ignorance? Not knowing you are, not knowing the world is, not knowing who you are, what you are. Okay, there's ignorance of existence of yourself, ignorance of the existence of the world is total ignorance. That what is the total ignorance? The total ignorance itself is what? An object of your knowledge, which is illumined by your very existence. In sleep, is it? That's what is there. And what is experienced by you itself is what? That is how, okay? That is how in deluge also you will continue to be there, not knowing you are, but the whole world will be reduced to what? Will be original matter. Then it would be like how you can experience the subtlest matter, how you experience in what you experience in sleep. Can you explain how the total ignorance is in sleep? You can only say there's no knowledge, is it? There was knowledge. There was total ignorance is an object of experience. The total ignorance is object of experience and the experiencer is you. You are there as experiencer of the total ignorance. But not knowing you are the experiencer, not knowing you are. Which means, how you are, the same way. That is how even in deluge, even if the whole world is destroyed, even in that deluge also, you will be how you are in sleep. After death also, you will be how you are in sleep. But to wake up, you need definitely another body. Is it clear? Which means, what I wanted to say, the idea, what I wanted to say now is, one can never arrive at, comprehend the original subtlest matter called Mula Vidya, Mula Prakritihi. I'm very slowly talking so that you will not have any confusion. Mula Vidya, Mula Prakritihi, Mula Jnanam. Mula means root, original. Why is it Mula? Which is uncreated matter. Therefore, indestructible matter. Ever indestructible, uncreated. Hence, it is indestructible. That matter but is what? Which is of the nature of undergoing changes, that matter is, you know, we say that matter alone itself, you call it also Maya Avidya. The same matter is called as Maya, it's also called, known as Avidya. And when it is an individual, the same matter obtaining in an individual, you know, it is Rajah Pradhana, predominantly Rajasik. Then you call it what? Vyashti Ajnanam, Vyashti Avidya. It is individual Upadhi. It is Samashti Ajnanam, it is predominantly Sattvic, Sattva Pradhana Prakriti. It is, you know, Samashti Ajnanam, it is called Maya. So, therefore, when you see this Mula Prakriti itself, what is this original matter, which itself is looked upon as the power of consciousness, yet never separable from consciousness. Like what? You can never separate the heat from the fire, never separate the light from the sun, brilliance from the sun, because the intrinsic, very intrinsic, inseparable. The power, we call it what now? Power of consciousness. And that power of consciousness is in twofold forms. That's if we say what? This Vyashti Upadhi, Samashti Upadhi, both Upadhis, or we can say Vyashti Ajnanam, Samashti Ajnanam, or Maya, or Avidya, both have what? These two powers, what powers? Avarana Shaktihi, Vikshepa Shaktihi. The power of veiling and power of projecting. We can say creative power also. But we saw last class, the whole class I explained the same thing. I didn't do anything new today. The same thing we saw, which means at the Ishvara level, the Avarna Shaktihi is not something afflicting power. Understand? It doesn't cover Ishvara. The total level, the Avarna Shaktihi contributes for the creation of the world. Which means, when the Avarna Shaktihi covers means, veils means, then there is the Vikshepa Shaktihi, the Avarna Shaktihi operates, then the Vikshepa Shakti operates, there is only projection, creation of the whole world. And the creation, the entire creation, including what? Entire gross, subtle universe becomes created because of the operation of the Vikshepa Shakti at the total level. So it's a complementary. Is it clear? So only at the individual level, Avarna Shakti veils the intellect. Thereby what happens? One cannot see. The one's own Swarupam becomes unseen. The truth of the world also becomes unseen. Then thereafter, the Vikshepa Shakti, what now, projects. It is a Jiva Srishti. So last class we saw Ishvara Srishti. Because of the operation of these two powers at the total level, Avarna Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti, the power of veiling and power of projecting, now actually Ishvara becomes what? The all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful, isn't it? Which means the Lord, the creator of the universe. Ishvara is creator of the universe. Creator status comes to the Lord. Whereas at the individual level, because the Avarna Shakti, operation of Avarna Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti, Jiva otherwise called what? Pragyaha. No? Pragyaha also becomes what? The creator, but creator of samsara. Is it clear now? With these two powers, Avarna Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti, Jiva and Ishvara both become the creators. But what is created? is different, isn't it? Ishvara is the creator of the relatively real universe, the absolute reality, the consciousness associated with the Maya Upadhi, enjoying the status of being the all-knowing Lord, Almighty Lord, also has the status of being the creator of the relatively real universe. I'm using the adjectives very carefully. Then the same consciousness associated with the individual upadhi, vyashti ajnanam, because of this avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti, the individual level, because of the operation, gets the status of being the pragyaha jivaha, then what? Becomes the creator of the samsara, which is not relatively real, empirically real, which is subjectively real. Samsara is subjectively real. The universe is relatively real. What is absolutely real is the Brahman, the truth of Ishvara and Jiva, the pure consciousness. That must become very clear. This much we saw in the last class. Therefore, this Moola Prakriti, or you can say the... Now we leave Jiva for time being. We'll take only Ishvara. Okay? Only take Ishvara. Now, you know very well, there is no Ishvara other than Brahman, the Atma, the pure consciousness. Ishvara is only a status attributed to Brahman, associated with the samashti ajnanam, otherwise called Maya, which is Ishvara Upadhi, the manifesting medium. Now, can we say, when you look at this Maya, samashti ajnanam, the manifesting medium itself as an inseparable power of consciousness, we saw they are inseparable, like the fire and the iron ball. We take the well-heated iron ball, just become the fireball. How the fire, the well-heated iron ball, the fire and the iron, isn't it, are inseparable. Like that here also, this consciousness and the matter are physically inseparable. Okay, physically inseparable. Therefore, we see the Maya as what? Samashti Ajnanam as the power of consciousness. Chit Shaktihi is called Chit Shaktihi, Parashaktihi. Now, understand, Brahma Shaktihi, we see it as Brahma Shakti, power of Brahman, power of the reality. Chit Shakti, power of consciousness. And this, because inseparable, that's why we say Ishvara means what? Ishvara means both together, Ishvara. There is no pure consciousness without the Maya cannot be called Ishvara. And Maya without consciousness also cannot have the status of being Ishvara. Understand? They enjoy the status of being the Ishvara. Are they separable? Not separable. Therefore, we see the Ishvara as what? Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. Karanam means cause. Ishvara is one inseparable material and the efficient cause of the universe. And Nimitta Karanam is what? Intelligent cause or efficient cause. upadana karanam is the material cause. We saw last class. Without the two causes are involved in any creation, any product. When you say, suppose if you make a sentence, look at this. Carpenter made this table. When you say, that's, you don't need to say, carpenter made this table out of wood. You don't need to say. If you don't mention the wood also, it is understood, wood is very much understood. Wood being inevitable there, important there is understood. Carpenter made this table. Or this, the table has been made out of wood, made of wood. The table is been made of wood means by the carpenter also is very understood. Whether you mention the name Maya or Ishna or Ishvara, it implies always both. Understand? Which means this creator of this universe, the creation has come into existence from Maya. Means what? It includes consciousness there. If we say this universe has come into existence from Ishvara, it includes what? Maya. Whichever expression you make, this universe has come into existence from consciousness. It means what? It includes Maya. If we say the universe is the product of Maya, it includes what? Consciousness. Is it clear? Suppose this person, suppose this woman is daughter of Mr. Lal, if we say. Mr. Lal means, it includes what? Mrs. and Mr. Lal. She's a daughter of so-and-so. She's Mr. Lal's daughter. She's Mr. Lal's daughter means, it also implies what? She's daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Lal. You don't need to mention, isn't it? Similarly here, when you say the universe is coming to existence from Ishvara or coming to existence from Maya, when you say that, even if the sentence is mentions only one, it is to be understood both. Is it clear? Abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. Abhinna means inseparable. Cause of the universe. Causes means what? Both the causes are inseparable. Material cause and the efficient cause of the universe. The causes are inseparable. This is Ishvara. Now the author is going to introduce the creation. The Srishti is going to be discussed here. And let us go with the teacher. Let us see really how everything has come into existence from Ishvara. And finally, we'll ask where is the creation? Finally, we have to say that. Therefore, where is the creator? There's no creation. There's no creation. There's no creator. There's only Brahma. There's only truth. That is what we have to finally arrive at. For which, we'll forget about everything. Now you understood what Ishvara is. At least now you know this much. If Ishvara is the material and the intelligent cause of this whole cosmos, and cause alone must be in the form of the effect, isn't it? The effect is nothing but appearance of the causes, like part is nothing but the manifestation of the intelligent cause, the knowledge and the skill of the pot maker, plus the clay, the material cause. In the very pot, you see both the causes being inseparable. When you see the beautiful pot, you see what? You see the clay in the very pot. Pot is appearance of the clay. It is just the appearance of the clay alone. It is also man in that appearance of the clay. What do you see? Actually, manifestation of the pot maker's knowledge and skill. That the skill and knowledge of the pot maker is inseparable from the product called pot creation. this intelligent cause, isn't it? Like that, the whole universe is manifestation of intelligent and the material causes, means the whole universe is Ishwaraha. That is why this is Vedic concept of Ishwara. And this Ishwara concept has to be understood very clearly. That is why we don't need to go and search for the Lord. Everything that you see here is what? The Lord only. Ishwara, manifestation of the Lord. Every small thing you see here, the seer is Ishwara, the seen is Ishwara, seeing is Ishwara. It's all what? Manifestation of Ishwara, means manifestation of the efficient and the material causes of the universe, the Ishwara. Abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. Abhinna, inseparable, nimitta upadana karanam. So if we saw this last class, this also we saw, if we say Ishwara is the inseparable material and the efficient cause of the universe, then from which aspect Ishwara is known as the material cause? From which aspect Ishwara is known as the intelligent cause? From the standpoint of Maya Upadhi, Ishwara is said to be the material cause of the universe. The standpoint of the consciousness, Ishwara is said to be the intelligent cause of the universe. Understand? Two are inseparable. Okay. Now we'll go to the next. 56th sentence. Yatha Luta Tantukaryam Prati Swapradhanataya Nimittam Swasharira Pradhanataya Upadanancha Bhavati. Okay, here the Shastram, the Vedanta Shastram, really made best of its efforts to discover the most possible example. The best of, that's why always Rishis were great observers. Great to be, the more you can observe, the more you can learn. Is it? For one to be able to be observant and to learn, one must have a lot of inner leisure. One must be quiet in one's mind, isn't it? You are restless and agitated, your mind cannot fix anywhere. So that you cannot observe anything, you cannot learn anything. So because that is why they're so, isn't it? The settled minded means you can observe a lot. The more you observe, the more you also learn. So here, the rishis, in the Upanishad rishis, in fact, they had this vision. What is that? The only one thing, one small, you know, a being, a living being in this creation helps you, you know, to understand this, that both the causes being inseparable. Now, when we think of carpenter and the wood as the material and the efficient causes of the any wooden furniture, for you, you know, the carpenter is something different from the wood, isn't it? We always think that way. You have to think of the carpenter's knowledge and skill. Then you can see it in the carpenter's skill is expressed where? Manifest where? In the very furniture. This knowledge of that particular furniture, the design, the comfort, isn't it? Everything, where is it exhibited? Only in the furniture. You can't separate it. But still we think of always two, isn't it? So they're inseparable. So here, the Upanishad, in Mundaka Upanishad, there is a mantra, Urnanabihi Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha. The most popular example, the only example available for Advaitins. Understand? What is that? Urnanabhihi is a Mundaka Upanishad word for spider. Spider is both efficient and the material cause of its own creation called the web. Isn't it? Where does the spider get the material to create its own web? Nobody is going, doesn't go for purchasing. No purchase order, importing order, isn't it? It is inseparable from its own body. And suppose there's no coaching classes on how to make the web, which means it doesn't go for begging for knowledge, isn't it? How to update my skills and knowledge so that I can get promotion, isn't it? Doesn't care for anything. No, doesn't need, which means the knowledge and skill required for making that finest web so delicate. That if an insect goes and sits there, it cannot come out of it and finished. It becomes the food for the spider. The intelligence, isn't it? So the knowledge also is its own. The skill is the spider, isn't it? The skill and the knowledge required for creating that web. It doesn't need to build a house like yours. But to create its own web, to satisfy its requirements. It creates its own web. And to create it, amazing. Who teaches us? Where is the knowledge? The knowledge is not outside, not borrowed from anywhere. It is on the part of the spider. The skill required for creating it is spiders. And the material, the wasp like thing required for creating its web is from the spider. Swami says, Mr. Spider is Ishvara. Of its own, with reference to its own web. Why? Intelligent cause, the material cause, maker and the material of the web is what? A spider. Isn't it? So both inseparable. Similarly here, that example is given. Instead of using the term Urna Nabihi like Mundaka Upanishad, here this author uses a different word, Luta. Look at this. Yatha means just as. Luta is another word for Urna Nabihi. This is spider. Anyway. Now, the Urna Nabihi, Tantu Karyam. Tantuhu means, literally means that the string is called, no? The thread, yarn, no? The thread, the string is called Tantu. So here, Karya means effect, the product, the creation. So Tantu Karyam, here the Tantu Karyam is the web. The effect, the creation called web, the creation in the form of web, the product in the form of web, Prati, Sopradhanataya, from its own standpoint, the standpoint of the spider itself, the spider becomes the intelligent or the efficient cause of the web. And so sharira pradhanataya, from the standpoint of the spider's body, from where it gets it becomes the material cause. Upadanancha bhavati. Got it? So, from the standpoint of spider's body, spider becomes the material cause of the web. Why? Because the wasp it gets from where? From its own body. But the skill and knowledge required for creating it, from its own standpoint, it becomes the intelligent cause. Just as spider is both one and the same inseparable causes of the web, similarly here, the Ishvara is what? The standpoint of Maya, Ishvara is the material cause of the universe. The standpoint of consciousness, Ishvara is the intelligent cause of the universe. Ishvara means It is one inseparable, intelligent, material cause of the universe. Okay. Example is given here. So, upadanam nimittam. You have to understand these two words. In fact, this verse you can remember from Mundaka Upanishad. Yathor nanabihi. It is not there. I wanted to say. You can just listen to me. Yathor nanabihi. Srijate. Grinnate cha. Yatha. Prithivyam. Oshadhaya sambhavanti. Yata satav purushat keshalo mani tatha aksharat sambhavati iha vishvam. So what he says, see, yatha, just as the spider creates, you know, this web, which means the spider is both material and the efficient cause of the web. And here, he gives one more thing. Like that, from Ishvara, this entire universe comes into the Ishvara, the consciousness inseparable from the Maya Shakti, the inseparable Maya Shakti, from the Ishvara, this entire universe comes into existence. Which means the creator, there is no creator of this universe other than Ishvara. This is how we start with. Okay? Now we have to remember, now the teacher is introducing a prakriya, the methodology. The method of what? Method of analyzing the creation. Any method is for what? Ultimately to arrive at the truth. Therefore, analysis or what is being analyzed is not important. What we are going to arrive at finally through this analysis is important. Understand? So analysis should be taken only as analysis. Should be taken as the truth. That is why, because the creation is discussed in different Upanishads in different ways. Because the discussion of creation is not important. How the creation has come into existence, why the creation has come into existence, that is not important. But finally, through this analysis, what it needs to be arrived at is the truth. That is what is more important. Okay? Remember this, now we'll see. Tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. From the Lord alone, this universe comes into existence. And here, the Upanishad mantra gives an example also. See, the earth is inert, isn't it? From the inert earth, but the the living things, such as plants come into existence. Inert earth is inert, the cause, but from that earth comes into existence what? The plants which with the life. But the human being or any human being or any living being which has a life, from the living being, inert things also come into existence. Like what? Your hair is inert. Your nails are inert. Inert nails are born out of a live human being. Alive beings. The hair and nails are found even other animals. And from the inert earth, the live plants come into existence. They grow. Like that, this Vishwam has come into existence from the Ishvara, who is both now material and the efficient cause of the universe, who is endowed with what? Maya by itself is inert. And consciousness is what? It's kind of together, conscious form, Ishvara. Okay. Now we'll see here. Now, Srishtikramaha. Srishtikramaha means what now? Here, there is how the creation comes into being. Which means, first he talks about the Sukshma Bhutani. Sukshma Bhuta Srishtihi means creation of original subtle elements. Because the elements what we perceive now, what we experience now, they are all gross elements. Okay, how the creation of original elements is discussed in the analysis of the creation first. So he says, Tamah Pradhana Vikshepa Shakti Mat Ajnana Upahita Chaitanyat Akashaha Akashad Vayuhu Vayoho Agnihi Agnihi Apaha Adbhyaha Prithivi Cha Utpadyate. Okay, first he says Utpadyate. Utpadyate means what? Comes into existence. What comes into existence? Subtle elements. Original subtle elements. When you say subtle, it is incomprehensible, unobjectifiable subtle elements. Original subtle elements come into existence. So he says, means subtle space, subtle air, subtle fire, subtle water, subtle earth, which means ungrossified elements, non-gross elements. Okay, subtle elements. It's called Sukshma Bhuta Srishtihi, creation of subtle elements. He says, where do these subtle elements come into existence from? Before I go here, I want to tell you one thing. The matter is of the nature of inertness, you know that very well. Here, the matter can be, we saw in the very beginning, the matter can be divided into threefold. How you see? Tamah Pradhana Prakritihi, Rajah Pradhana Prakritihi, and Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi. Predominantly Sattvic matter, predominantly Rajasic matter, predominantly Tamasic matter. Okay? So, predominantly Sattvic matter, we say what? Because is Ishvara. In Ishvara, there is a total knowledge. The matter is predominantly Sattvic, then it contributes for what? Total knowledge. And predominantly Rajasic matter means half knowledge. Obtaining in a human being, isn't it? Or every living being, you can say. And predominantly Tamasic means total ignorance. Is it clear now? Where you find total ignorance, where you find a total knowledge, where there is half knowledge. Which is what now? How much is the manifestation? In a predominantly Sattvic matter, there is total manifestation of consciousness. The knowledge is manifest, totally manifest. No? Purna Jnanam. Then in predominantly Rajasic matter, also consciousness is matter, but half manifestation. in predominant tamasic matter, consciousness is but is not manifest. See, consciousness is inseparably there, where the entire matter is come in and through, pervaded by consciousness. Is it clear now? The matter is what? Subtlest power of consciousness, inseparable. But still, how? But the same consciousness, how is it manifest? Is there a total manifestation, the total knowledge, or half knowledge, or total ignorance? If the total knowledge is there, so if the matter, the manifesting media is predominantly sattvic, there is total knowledge. The manifesting media is predominantly rajasic, there is half knowledge. It is predominantly tamasic, there is no knowledge. There is no manifestation. I'm not saying no knowledge. Consciousness is, but there is no manifestation. Is it clear? Now we have to understand this entire, when you talk about the even the subtle elements. So, total manifestation, sattva pradana prakritihi ishvara, isn't it? We talk about raja pradana prakritihi pragya, we say. Now, what about the whole jagat? Ishvaraha, jivaha, jagat. What is jagat? Jagat also is consciousness plus matter only. But what is there? It is completely tamah pradana prakritihi. Therefore, right from subtle elements, everything is predominantly tamasic only. But even tamasic elements also have what now? Subtle elements also have little of sattva rajas. That we'll see later on. How we are going to see very clearly, beautifully, we are going to see that here. Listen. So he starts with this heart, subtle elements. Then we'll go to gross elements. Then we go to living. We'll see all the whole srishti, we'll see beautifully. And presenting all the srishti beautifully, analyzing everything, and finally we'll negate. That is a different thing. So he says, from Ish, we say, so when you talk about creation, so everything has come into existence means definitely it implies what? Both consciousness and matter. Isn't it? So here he says, Chaitanyat, Chaitanyat Akashaha. You find it tamah pradhana vikshepa shaktimate ajnana upahita chaitanyat. Chaitanyat akashaha. The origin, the subtle space, the subtle element space came into existence from the consciousness. But when you say came into existence from the consciousness, it implies what? Consciousness with the matter. Is it clear now? Consciousness with the matter. But which matter? Is it tamah pradana, sattva pradana, raja pradana? Which matter? The matter predominantly sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Is it? So he says, upahita chaitanyat. Not Shuddha Chaitanyat, but Upahita Chaitanyat. The consciousness associated with. Upahita means what? Associated with the Upadhi. The consciousness with the Upadhi is called what? Upahita Chaitanyam. Upadhi Sahita Chaitanyam. Consciousness with the Upadhi is called Upahita Chaitanyam. So from the upahita chaitanyam, this subtle space has come into existence. Upahita chaitanyat akashaha. Is it clear now? The space has come into existence from Upahita Chaitanyam. Upahita Chaitanyam means what? Not Shuddha Chaitanyam. Not Shuddha Chaitanyam means what? Not pure consciousness. Not pure consciousness means what? The consciousness endowed with the Upadhi. The consciousness with the Upadhi. From that consciousness alone, this subtle space has come into existence. Now again, consciousness with the Upadhi means which Upadhi? Is it Maya, Avidya or what? He says, say, no. Ajnana Upahitam. Ajnana Upahitam, what now? Consciousness associated with the matter. Is it? Which matter here? Tamav Pradhana Vikshepa Shaktimat. Tamav Pradhana. Understand? Consciousness associated with matter which is predominantly tamasic. Tamav Pradhana Vikshepa Shaktimat Ajnana Upahita Chaitanyat. So, whether the matter is predominantly sattvic or rajasic or tamasic, all these matter is what? Any matter endowed with what? These powers, isn't it? Where he says, the consciousness associated with the matter, and the matter, which matter? The matter which has the power of creating, projecting, the creating, the vikshepa. And then the matter which has the power of creative power and which is predominantly tamasic. Therefore, what do you understand now? The jagat is what? Product of the entire jagat is product of predominantly tamasic matter. That is why there is no knowledge on the part of anything that is an object here. There is nothing in the world knows I am. There is no self-consciousness on the part of any space. There is no space, self-consciousness on the part of anything. I am. I am. Is not there. Not only that, there is no life. You can also say what? There is no life. Here. There's no life care. Here means what? There's no life means, does not mean there's no consciousness. There is no manifestation of consciousness. Understand? Like you can say anything. Even it's a living being's body you can take for that matter. Whether it's an inert piece of rock or mountain or inert, rock, mountain, or sand, or soil, or water, or take a living being, whether it is an insect, fly, worm, or even human body, elephant's body, take a living being or a non-living thing. Everything is what? Inert, totally inert. It means what? There is no knowledge. Even your physical body, your alive being, your living being, but still, your body does not know it is a body. Does the body say I'm a body? Does the nail say I'm a nail? There's no knowledge. The hair doesn't say I'm hair. The skin does not know it's skin. Is it clear? Hope I'm not confusing you. The skin is, hair is, isn't it? You can say nose is, lips are, teeth are, lungs are, heart is, kidneys are. You can say, but is there any organ, any part, tissues, muscles, blood, bone, marrow, nerves, all these different parts, different factors which constitute, the being, individual being, all of them are what? all put together spare parts. And what about the animal body? What about the insect's body? Elephant's body? From the standpoint of the body, all the bodies are equally inert. That means what? There is no knowledge. It is like a piece of rock. Rock does not know I am a rock. So your body also does not know it's a body. There's no difference. This is what I want to understand. What is total ignorance? You got it? There is no half knowledge. There is no total knowledge also. The body, I'm talking about the physical body. Physical part. Understand? The living or non-living. In anything you see, there is no knowledge. Which is because they're all products of predominantly tamasic matter. But can you say in the predominantly tamasic matter there is no consciousness? No. You cannot say there is consciousness. But there is no manifestation. Understand? Consciousness is without manifestation. Where? In predominantly tamasic matter. This manifestation means what? If it must, is it? Manifestation is there, means there would have been self-consciousness, isn't it? Manifestation must be in what form? It is this little different manifestation. This manifestation differs in animals, suppose in a living being and a non-living being. There's a slight difference. There is manifestation of consciousness in living beings, but there is no manifestation of consciousness in non-living things. But in living beings, means except human being, the manifestation is in the form of knowledge. You can understand the consciousness being manifest as the knowledge in all the living beings. How? Because every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. Like a frog or butterfly, you know, a monkey or an elephant or a crawling snake or a crawling worm. All this, even the trees, etc., plants, etc. For a plant to live its plant life, plant's life. For a creeper to live its creeper's life. For an elephant to live its elephant's life. For a frog to live its own frog's life. They don't need to go out for any, even a bird to build its own nest. They don't need to go for external tuition. They're all blessed with adequate knowledge to live their lives. Is it clear? The tree has blessed with adequate knowledge to live its tree life. It knows how to spread its tap root and absorb water from underneath. It doesn't expect, please, would you please take a bore well? I want some water. It doesn't ask for knowledge, anything. Which means everything, every being, living being, is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. We don't need to teach the plant how to bend and go where the sunlight is available. It goes the sunlight is not available. The plant by itself, the branches come out, it bends and goes where the light is available. We have noticed sometimes how the plants grow also. Which means that knowledge is also what? Manifestation of consciousness. Understand? But it's very simple. Very little knowledge. So in living beings, you understand consciousness being manifest as the knowledge. No? Required for a being to live its life. But even then, but in non-living thing, there is no manifestation, anything. Understand? Consciousness is in a piece of rock, but it is not manifest. Why? Because there is no subtle body. You get it? There's no subtle body. Now, let me tell you one thing. What about the human being? The human beings, if you take the human body, like a plant body, like a frog's body, like an elephant's body, the human body also is what are blessed with adequate knowledge for the body to be to function as a body, like heart, lungs, kidneys. All the different parts are blessed with what? Adequate knowledge to do its function. Heart doesn't ask us, what to do when the cholesterol comes and fills my walls. Come on, shut up. I won't ask you. I know how to stop it, isn't it? Arrest. Anything. So the kidneys function, heart functions, lungs function. Do they ask for the knowledge? Who do you instruct them how to function? They all function. Automatic, involuntary functions. So it means the functions are happening. Like in how there is a function, there are functions happening in worms or elephants or a frog's body or a plant's body, grass body. Similarly, there is in this physical body also functions are happening. So your physical body is in the physical body also, you can see knowledge being manifest. Wherever you see the life, there you see the life consciousness being manifest. In the name of knowledge required for adequate knowledge required for the functioning of the organs. So the physical body, it's okay. But your mind is very special, which distinguishes you from a frog and elephant or horse, any other animal. What is special about the mind? There, it was Rajah Pradhana, isn't it? What happens? There, manifestation is a little higher. Not just the here alone. Your body is equivalent to any other body. The function is the same, isn't it? There's only manifestation. You can understand the knowledge being manifest. But the knowledge, I am, half knowledge. Understand now, I am is what? Self-consciousness. That is why mind is sophisticated. Isn't it? Because nowhere the knowledge I am is manifest. Not on the thighs. Imagine this knowledge I am is manifest here. My God. The nail, the hair, every fighting all the time, isn't it? In between. The knowledge I am is manifest only in mind, on particular vritti. Therefore, because with this body, you are endowed with the mind also, you are the most, you are exalted of all the creatures. You know you are. Whereas in Ishvara, if you take, not only there is knowledge, I am. Understand what I'm saying? In total knowledge is what? Total knowledge means I am consciousness. That total knowledge, isn't it? The total knowledge, manifestation of consciousness, is what? Then the upadhi difference. The manifesting medium is predominantly sattvic. There is total knowledge is manifest, means Ishvara. Total knowledge is manifest. Total consciousness. And then there is little conscious, not totally manifest, partially manifest means pra Ishvara prajna. Totally ignorance means what? What is ignorance? Consciousness is there's no manifestation. Means what? Tamav pradhana. Is it clear now? Tamav pradhana prakritihi. In totally tamasic matter, consciousness is but not manifest at all. Partially rajasic, consciousness is partially manifest. But in predominantly sattvic matter, there's a total manifestation. So Ishvara means what? Tathapradana prakriti. Pragya means ajapradana prakriti. And jagat is what? Tamapradana prakriti. Ishvaraha, jivaha, jagat. You got all the three now? In jagat, there is consciousness. In Jiva there is consciousness. Ishra there is consciousness. But what the listen now. What is Jagat? Consciousness plus Tav Pradhana Prakriti. What is Jiva? Consciousness plus Ajav Pradhana Prakriti. What is Ishra? Consciousness plus Hat Pradhana Prakriti. So what is the difference in Jiva, Jagat, Ishra? Manifesting media difference. But understand, the consciousness is one and the same. Now, we are talking about what? Jagat Srishtihi. We talk about Jagat Srishtihi. Therefore, Ishvara Swarupam is what? Consciousness. Jiva Swarupam is what? Consciousness. Jagat Swarupam is what? Consciousness. Is it clear? The truth of the universe is consciousness. Truth of the Jiva is consciousness. Truth of Ishvara is consciousness. Swarupam. Now, we are talking about the Jagat Srishtihi. This Jagat Srishtihi has come into existence from Ishvara when we say, we have to talk about what? Why Ishvara here? Because consciousness is there. Is it clear? For which consciousness? Consciousness associated with matter, which has the creative power, which is predominantly tamasic. And the tamas, understand, from that alone, the subtle, first subtle elements, it talk about sukshabhuta srishtihi. The akasha, space has come into existence. Understand? Is it clear now? But which means predominantly tamasic. I am not saying there is no sattva at all. Predominantly tamasic matter. Predominantly rajasic means there is also sattva and tamas. Predominantly tamasic also there is sattva and rajas. Predominantly sattva also what now? Tamas and rajas. Is it clear? See, all three sattvam, rajas, tamas, three gunas are there in the matter. But predominantly what is? What it is? All the three are present in all the three. But what is predominant? Which guna is predominant? So how to know the guna is predominant? We are going to see that. Don't worry about gunas. You will have clear, doubt-free understanding of the meaning of the word gunas. Okay? Most confusing. People talk all confusing things. This he is going to make it so clear and simple. In this book you'll understand. Okay. Now look at this. Akashadvayuhu. Now he said, Tamav Pradhana Vikshepa Shaktimat Ajnana Upahita Chaitanyat Akashaha. So the subtle space has come into existence from the consciousness associated with the matter, which is predominantly tamasic. Okay, from the creative power of the matter, which is predominantly tamasic. Now, akashadvayuhu. So from the what came next then? The subtlest element is space, and from the subtle, now we are talking about subtle elements, okay, non-grossified elements. Okay, from the akasha, vayu has come into existence, then air, vayoho agnihi, then from the air came what? Agnihi, fire, then agnehe apaha, from the fire came what? Water, adbyaha. Apaha means waters. In Sanskrit, we have the plural expression, waters. Apaha, okay, can say water. Adbyaha, from the waters, prithvi, the earth. Now, each subtle space, from the subtle space came the subtle air, from the subtle air came subtle fire, from the subtle fire came the subtle water, subtle water came, subtle earth. See, you can't even imagine. Earth means for us lump, isn't it? In our buddhi. Can you imagine subtle earth? Original subtle elements came into existence from the consciousness which is endowed with what? Which matter? No? Which matter? Predominantly tamasic matter. Now look at this, he says. Now here he quotes the most famous example from most famous Upanishad, especially the Srishti, no? The Taittri Upanishad, the Krama, the order is very beautiful. Why? He goes from subtle element to the grossest element. Earth is the grossest of the elements, isn't it? And subtler is what? Then subtle is the water. Subtler than that is fire. Subtler than that is air. Hotter than that is what? This space. So, tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutah akashad vayuh vayor agnihi agnerapah adbhyav prithivi prithivya oshadhayah oshadhibhyonam annat purushah. Like this, how did man came into existence, human being came into existence, he goes like this. The creation, he quotes. The order, in Taittiriya Upanishad also, presents the same order of creation. Why he quotes it? The creation, the order of creation presented in different Upanishads differ. In Chandogya, only three elements are mentioned. Somewhere else, no, it's not the same order of creation, it's not presented everywhere. Which means, what does it mean? You need not give importance to the analysis of the creation. Finally, through the analysis of creation, what has to be arrived at alone has to be given, isn't it? Attended to, paid attention to, give importance. That's what is the meaning. Okay, now we'll go to next slide. Now he explains what I've already explained, he's going to explain now. Look at this. Teshu Jadya Adhikya Darshanat Tamav Pradhanyam Pradhanyam Tatkaranasya. Tadanim Sattva Rajas Tamamsi Karana Gunak Prakramena Prakramena Teshu Akashadishu Utpadyante. Okay. Now he wants to talk about, look at this. Teshu means what? Teshu sukshma bhuteshu. In those five subtle elements, we say tamav pradhanyam. We say, what do you find in those five subtle elements? Jadya adhikyam. Jadyam means inertness. Jada means inert. Jadya means inertness. Jadya adhikyam means predominance of the inertness. How do you say predominance of the inertness? There is no knowledge on the part of space. There is no knowledge on the part of air. There is no knowledge on the part of fire. There is no knowledge on the part of earth. There is no knowledge on the part of, is it? There is no knowledge on the part of the earth. Means what? All those elements are, there is no knowledge on the part of those elements. Means what? There is all those elements, they are intrinsically even though consciousness is in each element, consciousness is not manifested there. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Suppose if you keep your face in front of a piece of wood, you know, there won't be reflection of your face. If you keep your face in front of a mirror, the mercury, you know, there's a plain glass, there also you can't see the reflection. Is it what I'm saying? Piece of wood you can't see. Whereas a clean mirror, you can see the reflection. Why? Both are what? Both are earthen. The wood is also earthen. A piece of wood is an earthen, a board. Glass also is basically earthen. But how that one, in one you can see a reflection, one you don't see the reflection? The difference. Isn't it? Because it is transparent, it is non-transparent. Therefore, there is no reflection. Both are originally what? Earthen. Similarly here, all these elements are elements are what? All these elements are basically prakriti only, matter only, but still there is no knowledge on the part of any of them. Which means what? They are inert. They are of the nature of inertness. See, this, all the elements are of the nature of inertness. Inertness means what? There is no knowledge. Like a piece of wood, there is no knowledge on the part of the wood. Is it clear? Just the wood is. Therefore, we call what? No, jadya adhikyam. Jadya adhikyam. Adhikyam means predominance of the inertness being found in all those elements. Teshu panchabhuteshu sukshmabhuteshu jadya adhikya darshanat. Because what do we find in all of them? Because we find the predominance of the inertness, the knowledge, isn't it? In all of them, darshanate, what do we understand? We see only the effect, isn't it? You do not know the cause. You can never know the cause, isn't it? You only see the effect. What you experience only effect. Tamav pradhan. We say tamav pradhanyam tat karanasya. So tamav pradhanyam tat karanasya means the cause you make out from the elements. What do you make out from the elements? These elements are predominantly inert. Therefore, the cause of this predominantly the inert elements, the cause must be predominantly tamasic. Is it clear? You make out. When you eat a sweet cake, what do you understand? There must have been sugar. She must have put lot of sugar in this. You didn't see her putting the sugar. But you make out, she must have put lot of sugar. How do you know? It is called, isn't it, as you assume, you infer, or I can say you know. You see, similarly, seeing the predominance of inertness in all these elements, you make out the cause from where these elements have originated, come into existence, must be predominantly tamasic. Understand? There is no way of seeing the tamoguna. Don't go and search for tamoguna. Where is tamoguna? What is tamoguna? Come on. You cannot find tamoguna. Tamoguna is something to be understood. How do you understand tamoguna? Tamoguna, you can understand tamoguna being manifest. You cannot look for tamoguna, search for tamoguna, find the meaning of tamoguna. tamogunaha is nothing but a name. Understand? Given, you understand the nature of the matter, the cause of the elements. Is it clear now? The cause of the effect. When you find the cause, when you see all this, we see karyam, isn't it? We see all of them as effects. The space, air, all the five subtle elements are all products, effects. You only see them. And how do you find them? You find them predominantly, you find these elements being predominantly inert. Because they're predominantly inert, you can make out that the cause of these predominantly inert elements must be predominantly tamasic. The predominance of the tamas, the predominance of the tamas is made out by seeing the predominance of the inertness on the part of the product. The cause being predominantly tamasic is made out from the predominance of the inertness of the product's effects. I think I have put it very beautifully, I'm sure. Is it clear? That is what is said here. Because last week I thought, even though it is not a Sanskritam, let me try my best to. Sanskritam is easy, isn't it? I can just put it. When you put it in English also, I can put it, but I can even, it is possible for us to confuse you also. Isn't it? That I'm very careful. So, tat karanasya tamav pradhanyam, the cause of those elements being predominantly tamasic is understood through their predominance of their inertness. Okay, now tadanim sattvarajas tamamsi karana guna prakramena teshu akashadishu utpadyante. Okay, now he says, so what we understand here, sattva rajas tamamsi. So sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha, all the three gunas you put together, sattva rajas tamamsi, means all the three gunas. How do you arrive at now here? Karana guna prakramena. In keeping with the nature of the cause, teshu akashadishu utpadyante. In all these elements also, okay, all these gunas being in gradual. How? We'll see that now. We're going to see that. How? He says, what he says is, the cause of the nature of the cause is found in the effect. If the gold is yellow in color, the gold glitters, means chain also glitters, isn't it? The glittering is what? Karana gunaha. It is found in what? Karye, in the effect. The nature of the effect, cause, is found in the effect also. It must be there, isn't it? So, therefore he says, in all these elements also, he says, we find what now? There's a gradually, all these gunas of the nature of the cause, gunas of the cause, or we can see them the being transferred naturally to, gradually transferred to all the elements. Okay? They're all prakramaha, means what now? Which means see, whatever the gunas are there in the original Prakriti, all the three gunas are there, isn't it? The original matter has all the three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. And which you cannot see, you cannot understand. Understand? And you see what now? We say the Prakriti is of three gunas, and from this guna, which is but all the, we say there is a predominantly sattvic, predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic matter. And from the matter alone, what now? Everything comes, isn't it? So here he says, when we say, so we take only predominantly tamasic matter alone, these elements come into existence. Now we are talking about Jagat Srishti, okay? Jagat Srishti. We are not, forget about Ishvara and Jiva now. Jagat Srishti. Jagat has come into existence from that predominantly tamasic matter. Is it clear? Therefore, even though predominantly tamasic matter, that also has what? All the three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha, all three gunas are there in the matter. But what is predominant is tamas. Is it clear? Then now he says, therefore, from the predominantly tamasic matter, this matter, no, the consciousness of the matter, the space has come into existence. Now, from this space has come into existence what? The air. Therefore, from the space, the gunas of the air become transferred to the air. And from the air, fire has come into existence. So the gunas of the air become transferred to gradually to the fire. And from the fire, the water has come into existence. Means, so the gunas of the gunas obtaining on the part of the fire become transferred to water. So from the water to earth. Therefore, earth also has all the three gunas. Understand? All the three. Of course, in each element, what is predominant is tamas. But still, all the three gunas, you know, the degree of gunas obtaining on the part of the matter become transferred to space, from space to, not directly, isn't it? From space to air, air to fire, fire to water, water to earth. Which means all the elements being the originally products, originally what? All of them are products of Prakriti only. But you can say one has come from the other, isn't it? Therefore, all of them have what? All of them have Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. Now, subtle space has three gunas. Why? The cause has three gunas. What is the cause? Predominantly tamasic matter. But that, isn't it? But predominant tamasic matter is from where? The original matter. Got it? Therefore, predominant tamasic, therefore all these effects also predominantly tamasic only. But still they also have sattva and rajas also. So the each element has three gunas. Subtle space has sattva, rajas, tamas. Air has sattva, rajas, tamas. Fire has sattva, rajas, tamas. All the elements have sattva, rajas, tamo, gunaha. But all of them are predominantly tamasic. So from, because predominantly tamasic, how do you say, how predominant? Because they are of the nature of inertness. What do you find in each element? Each element is predominantly inert. Inert means what? There is no knowledge. Therefore it must have come into existence from where? Predominantly tamasic matter. This is how you make out. Is it clear? Etani eva Sukshmabhutani. Now he says, Yetani eva sukshmabhutani. Please don't have any doubts. These are the five subtle elements. Sukshmabhutani. Why subtle elements? Okay, they are also called tanmatrani. Tanmatrani. Tanmatram means what? The subtle element is called tanmatram. Okay? Tanmatrani, subtle elements, which means apanchikritani cha uchyante. They are ungrossified, non-grossified elements. Because now for the gross universe to become manifest, for the gross universe to be created, you need what? Gross matter. Understand? Now you have what only? Subtle matter. Isn't it? Subtle elements. So you need to have gross matter. So there must, the grossification must take place. Then the element should become gross. The gross elements alone, is it? You get the gross universe. So what is grossification? How does the grossification take place, etc. We'll see next class. Is it clear? But now you know at least this much. These are known as subtle elements. They're also known as tanmatrani. It means apanchikritani. Say that now. Apanchikritani. Say.
Apanchikritani.
See, panchikritani means grossified elements. Apanchikritani means non-grossified elements. They are what now? Tanmatrani. They are also known as tanmatras. They are basically what? Subtle elements. What is their nature? They are predominantly inert. Predominantly inert means what? There is no knowledge on the part of any of these elements. So what do you understand? Because there is no knowledge on the part of these elements, they are predominantly inert. Because they are inert, totally inert, not predominantly, they are totally inert. No? Inert, we make out the cause of these, you know, inert elements must be predominantly tamasic. Why not predominantly rajasic or sattvic? If it was predominantly rajasic, then there would have been knowledge. I am. Is it clear now? There would have been knowledge. But there is no manifest knowledge. Therefore, what do you understand? Okay, let me stop here so that we come back and continue next class. Now, because it's something, now slowly your doubts will resolve. Okay. That's why manifesting medium only, I said. It is the manifesting medium which gives this status.
But it's not anadi. This third one is not anadi.
Everything is anadi only. There's nothing which has a beginning. Anyway, and now there must be some clarity and there must be some new questions. Don't worry, we'll keep it for next week. Don't at least go back and think about it. Is it clear? Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om.